Good morning. It's Super Sunday. I don't know, maybe several years ago, Super Bowl Sunday was deemed by sportscasters to be Super Sunday. So this morning I want to preach about Super Sunday, but it doesn't have anything to do with the NFL or the Super Bowl or anything else. It always amazes me how much people get excited about the Super Bowl when people who don't care anything about football at all get excited about the Super Bowl. Say, why is that? Well, because everybody's hyping it. You know, every time you turn the TV set on, somebody's talking about it. Oh, well, that's something I better get excited about if everybody's talking about it. That should tell us something, Christians. We're not talking about the Lord enough. We're not talking about His church enough. We're not talking about salvation enough. We're not talking about the gospel of Christ enough to people. But Sunday is indeed super. And I want for us to consider a few reasons. This lesson could last about an hour and a half, but it's not going to. We're just going to look at some of the highlights that I want to bring to our attention. Sunday is super because it is the day that Jesus arose from the dead. In Mark 16 and the first seven verses we read, now when Sabbath was passed, Saturday, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, that's Sunday. They came to the tomb, and when the sun has risen, and they said among themselves, who will roll the stone away from the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. First day of the week, Jesus is risen. In John 20 and verse 19, it says, the same day at evening being the first day of the week. When the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, and Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be to you. Clearly, is the intention of Almighty God through the Holy Spirit and the giving us of the Scriptures to show us that it is the first day of the week, Sunday, that Jesus raises from the dead and appears to His disciples. In fact, in chapter 20 and verse 26, it says, and after 8 days, His disciples were again inside, Thomas with them, and Jesus came, and the doors being shut, stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Jews count inclusively. So if we were saying next Sunday, that would be 8 days. We have a tendency to say, well, it'd be 7 days, but we don't count today. But the Jews did. And so after 8 days means from the first day of the week that we saw there in verse 19 to this eighth day in verse 26 is again Sunday. Jesus appears to his disciples. Sunday is super because it is the day when Christ's church began. In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3, we read chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3, it says, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain in apocalyptic language, mountains means governments. The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established. on the top of the mountains. His authority will be above all other authorities. And shall be exalted above the hills and above all and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He shall teach us his ways. We shall walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. When's this going to happen? In the latter days, the house of the Lord is going to be established. It will be established by the proclamation of the law of this kingdom that will go forth from Jerusalem. Micah chapter 4 in the first two verses says exactly the same thing. God is making a point. He's telling us that this house is indeed going to be established. In Matthew chapter 16 and verses 16 through 19, we find that Jesus, a little bit before this, had said, who do men say that I am? And they said, and they gave him all the answers that everybody was saying that Jesus was. And he said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter spoke up and said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. As you drop down to verse 18, Jesus said to Peter, on this rock, on this foundation, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church. My house is going to be established on this truth that I am the Son of the living God. I am the Christ. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, and I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you will bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loosed on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. What was going to be bound and what was going to be loosed? Well, in general, it's the doctrine of Christ, the teaching of Christ that was going to be established. But you can sum it up in kind of a nutshell in Luke 24 and verse 47, still speaking prophetically, Jesus said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. You find that interesting? From Isaiah and Micah, Micah said that the word of the Lord would go forth from Jerusalem. Well, what was going to be that word of the Lord? Here the Lord is saying that repentance and remission of sins would be preached in his name beginning at Jerusalem. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. What were they binding and what were they loosing? You must repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, again speaking prophetically, looking to the future, looking to that time that his house would be established, Jesus said, assuredly I say to you that there are some of you standing here who will not taste of death until they see the kingdom of God present with power. Some of you are not going to die until you see the kingdom of God, the house of God, established. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, shortly before Jesus would ascend to heaven to be at the right hand of God, he said to his apostles, you shall receive power. Now, in Mark 9 and verse 1, he says, you will see the kingdom of God present with power. Here he says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. The word of the Lord would go forth from Jerusalem. It would begin in Jerusalem. But from Jerusalem, Jesus said, it will go to all Judea and then to Samaria, and then to the end of the earth. You will receive power. You will be alive when the house of God, the kingdom of God, comes into existence. You will see it. It will come with power, and you are going to receive that power of the Holy Spirit. It will come upon you. He will come upon you. And in Acts chapter 2, we find that's exactly what happened. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there was the sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Where are they? They are in Jerusalem. Jesus said, you're going to receive power. They're receiving that power of the Holy Spirit. What day is it? It is the day of Pentecost. Leviticus 23 and verses 15 through 16. The Jews were told, you shall count for yourselves from the day of the Sabbath of Passover, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. What's the day after a Sabbath? That would be the first day of the week. Sabbath is the 7th day of the week, Saturday. The next day is, there's only 7 days in a week. The next day is the first day of the week. You and I know it as Sunday. So, on Sunday, the first Pentecost, after the resurrection of Jesus, the apostles are all with one accord in one place in Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them. There is a sound as a rushing mighty wind, but there is no wind. There is fire that sets upon each of them, and they begin to speak in languages they have never studied. And everybody in Jerusalem can understand what they're saying. This is what was prophesied would happen, and this is what is happening. In chapter 2 of Acts, and verses 36 and through 42, it says, after Peter has instructed them and proven to them that Jesus of Nazareth, who they crucified, is both Lord and Christ. He says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. What did Jesus say would happen? Luke 24 and verse 47. Jesus said that repentance and remission of sins would be preached in His name, beginning where? In Jerusalem. Where are they? In Jerusalem. What day of the week is it? It's Super Sunday. It's the first day of the week. Repentance and remission of sins is preached in the name of Jesus Christ for the first time. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off. What did Isaiah say? What did Micah say? To all nations. as many as the Lord will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Verse 41 says, those that gladly received his word were baptized. They did repent. They were baptized for the remission of their sins. And that day there were 3,000 souls added to them. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. You drop down to verse 46, it says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Now watch it. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The mountain of the Lord's house will be established. When? In the latter days. What did the Hebrew writer say in Hebrews chapter 1? God has in these last days spoken unto us through his Son. The latter days have come. We're living in the latter days. We're living in the last biblical dispensation. In Jerusalem, on the first day of the week, the apostles are filled with the Holy Spirit. They preach repentance and remission of sins, and people repented and were baptized for the remission of their sins. Beginning that day and every day after that people repented and were baptized for the remission of their sins by the authority of Jesus Christ, the Lord added to the church, his house, daily, those that were being saved. Super Sunday, indeed. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was a super Sunday. Why? Because Jesus had told Eve that her seed would be bruised by Satan, and he'd bruise his heel. But that the seed of Eve would bruise the head of Satan. When Jesus was crucified, when Jesus paid the price of death that we owe for our sins, he was bruised, as Isaiah says, for our iniquities. But when he arose from the dead that first day of the week, he delivered a mortal blow to Satan. Super Sunday. Indeed. The church came into existence on the first day of the week. Another super Sunday. And I submit to you that every first day of the week is a super Sunday. It is the day that disciples observe the Lord's Supper, because that's what the doctrine of Christ teaches us to do. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, we read where it was on the first day of the week that the disciples came together to break bread. And Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message till midnight. When did the disciples observe the Lord's Supper? On the first day of the week. Why did they observe the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week? Because they were continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And that's what the doctrine of Christ taught. This is the day that you will observe the Lord's Supper, the first day of the week. Why? Because that's the day that Jesus arose from the dead. Because that's the day that Jesus met with his apostles after his resurrection, both that first day of his resurrection and 8 days afterward. Because that's the day that his church came into existence on the first day of the week. The disciples came together to break bread. And so we do too. Every Super Sunday, and every Sunday is super, we come together to remember our Lord and the sacrifice that he paid on our behalf. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verses 23 through 26, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Well, how often are we to do that? As often as the doctrine of Christ teaches us to do it. And the doctrine of Christ teaches us that it was the practice of first century Christians to observe the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. It's a super Sunday. Every Sunday is super. It is the day that disciples lay by in store. In 1 Corinthians 16, in verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia," several congregations in the, we would say today, state of Galatia, "so you must do also," not should do, ought to do, could do, do it if you want to do it, no. "So you must do, as I gave order to the churches of Galatia," I'm telling you, Corinth, in Achaia, "to do the same thing. You must do also. On the first day of the week, let each of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." So can we take up a collection during a gospel meeting, every evening of a gospel meeting? Not if we're going to abide in the doctrine of Christ. Can we take up a collection during our Wednesday night Bible study? Not if we're going to abide in the doctrine of Christ. The instruction that was given to the churches of Galatia and to the church at Corinth and to every church that abides in the doctrine of Christ is to, on the first day of the week, lay by in store. Sunday is a super Sunday. Every Sunday is a super Sunday. It is the day that Jesus arose from the dead and delivered a mortal blow to Satan. It is the day that the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem and proclaimed repentance and remission of sins, and the church came into existence. It is the day that we are instructed by apostolic example to observe the Lord's Supper in remembrance of him. It is the day that we are to lay by in store in support and in advancement of the Lord's work. Every Sunday is a super Sunday. This could be an especially super Sunday for you. If you are here today and you're not a Christian, and you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, you have not repented and been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, today you can do that. Today, your sins can be washed away in the blood of Christ. And you rise to walk in newness of life, be added to his church in fellowship with him. For you, this could be an especial super Sunday. If you're here today and you're a child of God and you know you're out of favor with God, you need to make things right with him, you can, as we're instructed in James chapter 5, confess your faults to one another, pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You can be restored to fellowship with him. You can be in favor with him. You can leave this place rejoicing. A super Sunday indeed. We'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.